Thank you, John. Please do keep your Bibles open at Psalm 119, page 617 in our church Bibles. Well, today we begin a new series, as I mentioned just now, and that series I've entitled The Wisdom of the Psalms. There are 150 psalms in the Bible, and they're best thought of as inspired poetry. Poetry physically written down on paper by King David and other human authors, but ultimately given to us as gifts from God. You see, the Psalms are a set of God-given prayers that we can use in every situation, in every season of life. The Psalms include prayers that we can pray in times of joy, in times of sadness, in times of despair, and in times of hope. The Psalms are given to give us words to pray in times of plenty, as well as times of need. The Psalms are prayers given to us by God to use when our own words simply fail us, when our personal vocabulary runs dry. They are words given when we ourselves don't know quite what to say or pray. The Psalms are God-given poetry that Christians can read quietly on their own or sing corporately together in church. I have to say, speaking personally, I've spent a fair amount of time over the last couple of months reading the Psalms for myself and reading a couple of books on the Psalms as well. And I have to say, I've found them personally spiritually enriching and emotionally sustaining. And as we look at just a few of these Psalms over the next few weeks, I hope you will enjoy them and benefit from them and be enriched by them too. And so we begin today with Psalm 119. It's the psalm that actually appears in the very middle of the Bible. If you open it up, you'll see it's literally smack bang in the middle. Psalm 119 also happens to be the longest psalm in the Bible. It has no less than 176 verses and would take nearly half an hour just to read out loud. You might call it the super psalm. But since we all want to get home for our Sunday lunch today, I want to focus this morning not on 176 verses, but just the first 16 of our psalm this morning. Because this psalm 119, this super psalm, is a psalm that celebrates the goodness and wisdom of God's word. And I want us to think about that today. But before we do get stuck in, let's just pray together. Heavenly Father, your words are a joy and a delight, a nourishment to the soul. Please do feed us as we look at this psalm together this morning. Because we ask it, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. One lesson that Helen and I try and teach to our children is that when we give them rules or when we set limits to their behaviour, we do it for their good. It's not because we're mean, it's because we love them and we want them to be regulated by rules that do them good. And we tell them to stop and look both ways before crossing the road, for example, so they don't get run over. We limit the number of sweets they can eat so their teeth don't rot. And we stop them watching too much TV, or at least try to, so they don't get square eyes and round bellies. And a similar principle applies to us and our relationship with God and his laws and his rules. Because the first lesson we learned from our psalm this morning is that obeying God's word brings blessing. Obeying God's word brings blessing. And we see that right at the start of our psalm, don't we, in verses 1 and 2, where it says, "Blessed are those whose ways are blameless, who walk according to the law of the Lord. Blessed are they who keep his statutes and seek him with all of their heart." Do you notice just at the outset that God's word, the Bible, the scriptures, are described in two different ways in those two opening verses? In verse 1, God's word is called the law of the Lord, isn't it? And then in verse 2, if you look, It's called his statutes. In fact, if we had had time this morning to read through all of Psalm 119, we would have seen that it uses about half a dozen different expressions to describe God's word. As well as his laws and his statutes, it's also called his teachings, his commands, his decrees, his precepts, his promises. And the author of the psalm doesn't use all these different words to describe God's word just to keep the psalm fresh and stop it becoming boring. He uses all those different words to try to express the enormous variety and diversity we find whenever we pick up our Bibles. Scripture contains prophecy and poetry, promises and predictions, love songs as well as letters, history as well as theology. In fact, one of my guiding principles in my time here at St Michael's has been to make sure that we're exposed to the full breadth of God's word. So over my time here, I've tried to make sure that we've studied the Old Testament as well as the New, and followed sermon series from right across God's written word, not solely from Matthew, Mark, Luke and John, precious as they are. So God's word is gloriously rich and diverse. All of it is for our benefit. But why exactly does it bring blessing? Well, I think the short and simple answer is that God's word gives us God's wisdom. It gives us wisdom from our Creator on how to live rightly in his world, in his creation. It gives us wisdom on how to walk in a way that not only pleases God, but blesses other people and gives us personally a contentment and fulfillment that no other way of life can possibly give. You see, God's written word is like a map and compass in a confusing world. It's a sat-nav that guides us from the cradle to the grave and then to glory. It's like an encyclopedia that gives us everything we need to know on everything that really matters most. As the Apostle Paul put it, the Holy Scriptures make us wise for salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And not only that, they equip us for every good work. I think verse 3 this morning is really helpful because it describes obeying the Bible as walking in God's ways. Walking in God's ways. You see, obeying God's word isn't a single tick box exercise. It's a way of life. It's dynamic, not static. Obeying God's word is a lifelong walk, not a single step. It's a daily decision, not a momentary choice. And so every morning we need to ask ourselves, will I seek to live according to God's word today, a way that gives blessing, says this psalm? Or will I live another way, a way that will fail to truly satisfy, a selfish way that this psalm says will lead to sin and to shame? When the decision, when the choice is put that way, I hope the right decision is obvious and clear. Walk God's way, obey God's word, for it brings blessing. So God's word brings blessing. But better still, God's word also helps us to know God himself better. Whenever we read a best-selling autobiography by a celebrity, a sportsman or some other famous figure, we get to know that person better, don't we? When we read the latest autobiography that have hit the shelves from John McEnroe, David Walliams or Hillary Clinton or anyone else for that matter, we get an insight, don't we, into their character. When we read someone's autobiography, we get a glimpse into their hopes, their fears, their loves, their hates. A person's words, you see, reveal their personality in a far deeper way than a picture of them ever will. You see, someone's words show us their soul, their mind, whereas a photograph just shows us their face. Listen again to verse 7 today. I will praise you with an upright heart as I learn your righteous laws. You see, the psalmist understands that as he learns God's laws, as he reads them and takes them to heart, he will learn more about the author of those laws. He will learn more about God himself. To be precise, he will learn more about God's goodness and God's glory. And he says he'll want to praise him for it. God's words, if you like, are like a pathway that leads us up to God himself. God's words paint for us a vivid portrait of what God himself is really like. I think verses 10 and 11 this morning make the same point even more strongly. They say, I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I may not sin against you. Do you see what's going on there? The psalmist is saying that his heart's desire is to know God. And therefore, he will hide God's word in his heart. If he wants his heart to know God, he wants his heart to know God's word. The psalmist understands, you see, that the key to knowing God better is to know God's word better. And of course, to obey it more completely, to trust it more fully. The implication of all this is, I hope, fairly obvious. It's that we need to spend more time getting to know our Bibles better. We need to spend more time reading it, reciting it, reflecting on it. More time taking it on board, more time taking it to heart. And unsurprisingly, that's exactly what the author of Psalm 119 recommends in verses 13 and 15 today. In verse 13 he says, with my lips I recount all the laws that come from your mouth. And then in verse 15 he says, I meditate on your precepts. I consider your ways. Like an actor rehearsing his lines before a play, the psalmist says that he rehearses and recounts the words that God has given him in his Bible. Or like a cow chewing the cud, the psalmist recommends turning God's word over and over in our minds. We're to meditate on it, think over it, consider its implications for our daily life and our faith. As you may know from the news at the moment, the government is currently trying to get the EU withdrawal bill through the House of Commons. This massive piece of legislation is designed to take thousands of EU laws and transpose them onto our British statute books in time for Brexit, of course. Thousands of rules and regulations need to be moved, if you like, from Brussels into British law. And I think Psalm 119 is urging us to do something similar ourselves. It's urging us, isn't it, to move God's words from the pages of the Bible into our own hearts and minds, to transfer them from here to here. And we do this transfer, he says, by prayerfully reading them and reflecting on what they say. It's no surprise, therefore, that one very good habit a lot of Christians get into is to read a short passage of scripture first thing in the morning at the beginning of their day, and then spend the rest of the day mulling over, thinking over, memorising those verses, allowing those verses to feed their hearts and minds for the rest of the day. We'll all be hearing a lot about the Protestant Reformation over the next couple of months as we approach the 500th anniversary of when it all began. And one of the greatest legacies of the Reformation was that it got the Bible into ordinary people's hands. The great reformers like Martin Luther and William Tyndale were passionate that people should have the opportunity to read God's word for themselves. It wasn't something that should be confined to the hands of priests, but even in the hands of every ploughboy, every person across the land. And of course, the invention of the printing press around the same time helped to make that dream become a reality. Now today, of course, we can still read the Bible on paper, but we also have the opportunity to read it on our tablet computers or via an app on our mobile phone. You can even download an audio recording of the Bible if you prefer to listen to it rather than read it. The great actor David Suchet, for example, has just done a great audio recording of the Bible, and I commend it to you. What's more, there are many, many Bible reading notes, commentaries and reading plans that we can make use of. There are a few on our church library, and I know Pat Burr would love to give you some Bible reading notes if you speak to her or speak to me as well. Do dig into God's word and the aids that we have to help us read it and digest it. You see, compared to previous generations and compared to many people around the world, even today, the Bible is well within our grasp here in Gideon Park. We really have no excuse not to open it, not to read it, not to reflect on it and apply it to our lives. I hope we want to echo the words of the psalmist in verse 16 today. I hope you too will want to say with him, Lord, I delight in your decrees. I will not neglect your words. I will not neglect your word. Now, before I finish this morning, I just want us to take a moment to look specifically at verse 9. And let me read again that verse to us, verse 9. How can a young man keep his way pure? By living according to your word. Now, in many ways, that verse is simply a summary, a repetition of what we've seen so far, isn't it? It's yet another verse that seems to encourage us to obey God's word. Another verse that encourages us to avoid sin by letting our actions be in accordance with what God has said. But what's interesting in that verse, as I hope you noticed, is that there's an explicit reference to a young man seeking to keep his way pure. Now, it's quite possible that the reason a young man is mentioned in that verse is because this psalm, Psalm 119, was written by a young man. It's entirely plausible that the author of this psalm was young and male, and that's one explanation for it. But as we read this psalm today, as Christians, I hope our thoughts are also drawn to another young man. A young man born a few hundred years after this psalm was first written. A young man who would have sung this very psalm in his home synagogue. A Jewish young man who may well have memorized these very verses as he grew up in Nazareth. That young man, of course, was the Lord Jesus. Because as we look at the life of Jesus in the Gospels, we see a man who lived his whole life in total obedience to God's word. A man whose birth, life, death, and resurrection were all very literally in accordance with the scriptures. As we read the Gospels, we see that Jesus knew his Bible, the Old Testament, as he had it then. Jesus knew his Bible back to front. When he was tempted, for example, he quoted scripture against Satan. When he explained his mission and ministry to his first disciples, it was rich with scriptural metaphors, quotations, and allusions. When he predicted his own death and resurrection, Old Testament prophecy was often on his lips. And as he hung on the cross, the final words that came from his lips were the first verse of Psalm 22. Jesus was and remains the only person whose way has ever been entirely and utterly pure. The only Bible believer who has been tempted in every way, but who has never, ever succumbed to sin. Jesus is the only Son who has ever wholeheartedly obeyed his Father's words, always and everywhere. And so Jesus, therefore, presents to us the perfect example. The perfect example of someone who truly delighted in God's word, who never, ever neglected it. The person who put Psalm 119 entirely into practice. But thankfully, Jesus is more than simply just a moral example. He is a saviour we need as well. We all need more than just a moral example. We need forgiveness too. Forgiveness for those times when we haven't lived our lives according to God's word. For those times when we ourselves have sinned and put ourselves to shame. And the wonderful truth of the Christian gospel is that Christ's purity can become ours. Christ's blameless life can be credited to our account. His perfect, spotless sacrifice for sin on that cross can make anyone right with God. All that's required is for us to put our faith in him, that perfect young man who died and rose again for us. And when we do that, the Bible promises that God's forgiveness flows to us and his Spirit is poured into our hearts. A Spirit who will help us walk according to the law of the Lord. A Holy Spirit who will help us walk in God's ways. A Holy Spirit who helps us delight in God's decrees. A Holy Spirit who helps us put Psalm 119 into practice. So when you read the words of Psalm 119, don't despair. Don't write it off as an unattainable ideal. Instead, look to Jesus as the perfect embodiment of a blameless life. Trust in Christ's purity for your forgiveness before God. And ask for the help of God's Holy Spirit to walk according to his word. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you lived your whole life according to your Father's word. We trust in you alone for the forgiveness for our failures, and we seek the power of your Holy Spirit to love your word and walk your way in future. In your name we pray. Amen.